Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Weekly Planet Podcast, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always is my co-host, Nick Mason!
Hey buddy!
What's happening?
Nothing.
Bad news.
Oh.
We're cancelled.
Oh.
April Fools!
Whoa! What a rollercoaster of emotions.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
How was your April Fools?
Nothing happened. Because we're adults, remember?
But did you go to a website and there was something slightly different and you went, oh, that's a little bit annoying?
No, I just stayed off the internet for like... In fact, I got up after midday, so, you know...
You missed everything.
I missed everything, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst time of the year for the internet.
It really
the bloody
is, yeah.
April Fools, yeah. Mm-hmm. Either because your website's either they do some hilarious joke, which is for some reason some people still fall for, but most people are like... This is clearly a fake thing.
It's like Google's invented a vacuum. It's Google vacuum. You can vacuum around your house while you're on Google.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And then people are like, I don't know if I'd buy that product.
I mean, I like the search engine, but come on, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But and then you get other websites who are like, oh, we're sick of April Fools. We're sick of it on the internet. It's so uncool. So you get those two sides of it. I think we fall into that camp, though, don't we?
And it's also the worst time of year to die. Or to actually have any kind of, like if you're getting engaged or something like that, just leave it.
Yeah.
Leave it for a day. It's really inconvenient.
That's it. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's get into it then.
Okay then.
We've had our April Fool's fun for this year.
Oh, so good.
All right. Mason, news for this week. Ninja Turtles news.
I'm ready.
Get this right.
I'm ready.
Two of the actors have been replaced in Ninja Turtles.
The people under the Ninja Turtle suits?
Oh, well, that'll stay. All the mocap stuff. The guy who played Splinter, which is... Do you remember the little guy from Seinfeld, Kramer's friend?
Yes.
He was Splinter.
Okay.
He's no longer the voice of Splinter. And the guy who played Leonardo, who I don't know whose name, but he's like, can you imagine the most generic blonde guy that you've ever seen?
Yes, I can, yeah.
That's him.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, basically...
Two of the voice actors.
So Splinter is now voiced from the guy from Monk...
Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one, Leonardo, was voiced by none other than your favorite, Johnny Knoxville.
That's an interesting choice.
This isn't an April Fool's.
Okay, I was going to say, because I'm on edge right now. I'm going to be paranoid through this whole episode that everything you say is one of your wacky April Fool's scenarios that you've been saving up all year.
So, yeah, what do you think of that?
That's all right, I guess. I mean... It's, you know why people will be up in arms about that?
Why?
Because Johnny Knoxville, crazy daredevil. Leonardo, not a crazy daredevil.
That's true.
He'd be like, Johnny Knoxville's either got to be Raphael, cool but rude, or Michelangelo, party dude.
That's right. I think that's exactly what people are saying. Also, Johnny
Knoxville. Or Splinter, alcoholic rat.
Do you watch Monk?
No, is it still on? It can't still be
okay,
on.
I don't think it's still
I
on.
I don't think it's still
it's
on.
It's one of those shows where the main person in it has a severe mental... kind of barrier,
uh-huh.
But and you know, verging on disability, but they craft a whole show around it.
Yes.
There's a lot of those, if you notice that.
I have, yes.
So yeah, no, I've never really watched it. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's okay. I'm not really fussed, to be honest.
Well, we didn't, it's not like we've heard some incredible voice acting from whoever it is.
That's right.
And now we've had that taken away from us.
And now
it doesn't matter, they're probably all fine.
That's exactly it. And you know, this isn't uncommon for it to happen either. I think they replaced the guy who's one of the guys in Two and a Half Men. He was originally one of the voice of the Planes in the movie Planes.
Oh yeah.
So that's a classic example.
That is a classic example.
But I think the most famous one is the guy who played Darth Vader, David Prowse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He voiced Darth Vader when they were filming it. And
he was going to be the voice on film.
Which is odd because you could barely, like, I've seen a bit of that raw footage, Mason.
Uh-huh.
And it's just him going, you barely understand him and he's not threatening in any way.
Right.
And he's not an actor, that guy. He's like a stuntman.
He sounds like he's trapped in a cupboard.
Yes, exactly. And then he was replaced with James Earl Jones. But he didn't find that out until he saw the movie.
Wow, okay.
And he was not happy.
I think he was probably doing a bit of, to his family or his friends, like, look, you can't see me under this costume, but you just wait. You'll hear that beautiful David Prowse voice.
It's such a nuanced performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do
you know he doesn't get any, apparently... He's got no money for Return of the Jedi. He signed something which means he gets a certain amount of the profits. But he gets a letter every year that says something like,
"We didn't make any profit.
We didn't make any profit." Yeah, which is ridiculous. It made like $500 million at the time.
Right. But I think it was some loophole where it was like the gross profits or something like that. So they're like, "Well, if we include marketing and blah 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 and all this, we never made a profit." So I guess every year they put $500 million into the advertising budget for Return of the Jedi Blu-rays or something like that. So nobody makes any money. Yeah, I've heard that. That guy's
been screwed by Star Wars for like 30 years. You know, George Lucas didn't trust him with the Darth Vader Luke father secret.
Yep.
So Mark Hamill knew at the time, George Lucas pulled him aside. He's like, hey, listen up, Darth Vader's your father. Didn't tell David Prowse.
Right.
Didn't find out till he saw the movie.
Well, I think... I think that is a wise move on Lucas's part.
I agree.
Because if you've started on a bed of lies and you haven't told the guy that he's not going to be the voice, and then he gets an unpleasant surprise when he brings everyone he knows to the cinema.
Yeah.
He's probably going to spill any secrets you give him. So it's probably best not to give
him
any.
That's exactly right.
That's what I'd do.
And there was another thing. I think David Prowse also leaked something in relation to Return of the Jedi before it came out.
Uh-huh.
There's like this weird rivalry between him and Lucas.
Right.
And I remember before the new prequels came out.
It's a real David Goliath situation.
It feels like about 20 minutes ago we started talking about Ninja Turtles, so doesn't it?
It sure does.
But yeah, just before the new, I think it was... the last Star Wars that came out, Revenge of the Sith came out. He's like, well, obviously they're going to get me back because they got Chewbacca back.
Right.
And it's people are going to be outraged if they don't get good old David Prowse in the suit.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, to be honest, David Prowse, good on you for all your achievements in cinema and whatever. I mean, I don't know what your voice sounds like, but good on you. But they could literally get anybody for that. And they ended up just using Hayden Christensen in the Darth Vader suit.
Because he's the same height.
Well, no, he's actually a bit shorter. I think they healed him up.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, because Vader's got his legs chopped off, so they give him extra long legs.
Oh, yeah, nice.
That's exactly it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Also, they should just swap out Chewbacca, the guy in the Chewbacca suit.
Yeah, they could do that, couldn't they?
Yeah.
But then he'll stop releasing all those secret onset photos from the 70s or whatever he has.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that archive of old photos, yeah.
I mean, good on Peter Mayhew already and everything, but Peter Mayhew cannot run or barely walk now.
Oh.
He's, like, super tall and he's all, like, kind of, his legs are all fucked up.
Oh.
But yeah, sad state of affairs.
Well, that's the most people anyone's talked about David Prowse in several years, so...
You're welcome, Prowse!
Anyway, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, so there you go. They've replaced those guys, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. Or not great. I'm indifferent.
I'm also indifferent.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Doom Fantastic Four news, Mason.
Uh-huh.
They've found their Doctor Doom.
Is it a lady this time?
Well.
Lady Doom.
No, there's no...
The Doomette.
It's no Doomettes. That was a rumor at one point.
Doomalina.
That rumor got way out of hand, right?
Mm, yeah.
With the lady Doctor Doom. Did you ever think for a second that was going to be the case?
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'll be fine because it's a Z-grade franchise.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. The guy that they've got is a guy named Toby Kebbell. Are you familiar with Toby Kebbell?
Not at all.
He's in. I've got a picture of him for
is
you.
He's a country music singer.
He is. Yes.
Right.
He's in. He's in an episode of Black Mirror. You know the episode of Black Mirror where they get the chip in their head that records everything that they see.
I remember that one.
Yeah,
yes.
That guy. He's a great. And I think he was in Rock and Roller. Which is a.
We've had some previous Black Mirror casting news from that's gone to Hollywood.
You
right?
know it.
Yeah.
You recognize this guy.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, he's I think he's 31 or 32.
Uh-huh.
He's also in a British TV show called The Street, which is a really good kind of British drama.
Hmm.
Well, he was in that. That show isn't on anymore. Or it is, I don't know. But I think it's a great choice. I think he's a really good actor.
Mm.
And I think he's going to bring something to that role. That being said, they're going to just David Prowse him.
Exactly, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's interesting when a British actor is cast, I think, in a Hollywood film.
Yeah.
Because you... Like, if you see someone on British TV, they're always very quite. They're always very British.
Yep.
Like, they're not Hollywood perfect. You know, they've got scraggly facial hair and kind of... They're pallid and pale and they've got bags under their eyes and et cetera, et cetera.
Are you talking Ricky Gervais syndrome?
Yes, I'm talking exactly that. But they must, be, you know, have to see them and go, okay, well, if we... They're good actors, so we'll have to just fix all of that. And they'll look incredible.
And they
good,
do.
That's a good eye, American casting directors.
You know who's a really good example of that? Ewan McGregor.
Mm.
Initially, not that he was ever a bad-looking bloke, but he was kind of a scraggly kind of...
Yeah,
kind
exactly.
of sickly-looking dude. Maybe that's just my memory of him from Trainspotting. But even other stuff he was in around then. Mm. And now he's like super handsome, quiffed hair.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Oh, also, more Doctor Doom news.
Yes.
It's rumoured. Are you a fan of the Doom...
He's attacking New York right now.
Are you a fan of the Doombots?
Yeah, I love a Doombot.
Well, rumours of Doombots, Mason.
I bought one at a garage sale the other day. Cleans my house. Occasionally destroys my house.
Ah!
Poor programming, yes.
Yes. So yeah, it might be Doombots in this upcoming film. Okay. I think that's courtesy of Nerdist website or something. You know, okay. Nerdist.
They I'm aware
do a
of
bunch
it.
Of shit.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. Doombots.
Mm-hmm.
For those not in the know, the Doombots are like the Iron Legion, I guess. They're like Doctor Doom's Iron Legion. He's got a whole bunch of copies of himself.
Yeah, and they all think that they are Doctor Doom.
Oh yeah, there are. That's true. There is difference.
Well, they think they're Doctor Doom until they're in the presence of the actual Doctor Doom,
and they're like, "Oh shit! Oh god!
Oh sorry. This is so awkward.
My whole identity."
Oh.
How embarrassing!
It's embarrassing for me.
So yeah.
Hey, wait a sec! You programmed us. It's embarrassing for you. It's real rude.
So yeah, there you go.
Mm.
Any thoughts on that before we move on?
Nah, it's fine.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you've said the
Fantastic
right thing
Four.
There. Yeah,
it's fine.
Sure is. There's a new Captain America suit though, Mason.
Oh, for Avengers 2.
Yeah, there's been a whole lot of set photos leaking all week.
Yep.
All over the place.
An all-week leak.
That's right. A lot of them I'm not really interested in. I'm like, oh, okay, there's Black Widow's stunt double on a motorcycle. Blah, blah, blah. Who
sure.
cares? But you see the new Captain America outfit, and I think it looks pretty cool.
Bellissimo.
You like it? Big
it's
fan.
Good. Yeah,
because I know one of the big problems you have with Winter Soldier, your least favorite Marvel movie, is that...
Steady.
Is that the suit isn't very comic book appropriate. For the Captain America, for that particular style of Captain America.
Are you talking? What are you talking? Winter Soldier?
Yeah, you know the Winter Soldier's got the old kind of blue suit,
the stealth suit. Yeah, yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah, oh, you do like it.
Yes.
Didn't you say you didn't like
no.
it?
No.
Ah, I'm confused.
Look, I have many opinions on costumes.
Sure.
Mm.
But this one seems like a mix between that and the World War II era suit.
Yeah, it looks real good.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. I think they've finally found that balance that they need in a kind of modern-day Captain America suit. Because they certainly didn't strike it in the Avengers.
Correct. Thank you.
That's for shiz.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Check those out online, comicbookmovie.com, Mason, if you would like to see those, which you have.
That's the official website of this podcast.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
For now.
Oh.
I think we'd be naive to assume that they'd let us just keep doing this.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, there is some other Marvel news, though, Mason.
We're going to get an email that's like... April Fools, you're cancelled. P.S. It's not April 1st anymore. You actually are cancelled.
Kevin Feige has talked about the future of Marvel and how they've got it mapped out.
Up to 2028.
Up to 2028. What do you think of that?
It's way too far in advance.
I agree. It is very far in advance, but I think it's good to have a rough idea where you're going. I mean, these things are subject to change, but you can now work stuff in now which comes into play later. I mean, as long as it's not choked down and self-referential and it kind of bogs in on itself or whatever, I think it's fine. I think it's good to have an overall outline.
Mm.
I mean, by then we'll have like 8 different versions of Batman and, you know,
right.
You know, or whatever. But no, I think it's good to think. Maybe it is too far ahead, but it's nice that they're putting some thought into it.
Maybe they're sort of following the pathway of like a Harry Potter film.
Yep.
Where they can get some like kid... actors or whatever and have them grow into whatever role. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In 2028, Robert Downey Jr. will be 63 years old.
Great.
So yeah,
there'll be a new Iron Man by then.
Oh, no doubt. They've talked about before how they're doing it like a James Bond kind of thing where they can just cycle somebody out.
Yeah,
which they've been known to do in the past.
But at the same time, I reckon Robert Downey Jr. will look great at 63.
Absolutely.
If you said he was 63 now, I'd be like, oh yeah.
Wait,
I don't know what that means. But I think he'll look good as a 63-year-old.
Sure.
How good does bloody Harrison Ford look at 63? He probably looks great.
He looks all right.
How old is he now? He's like 70-something?
I think he's 72 or something. Okay, like right. That. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, sure. Look, I'm not against it by any stretch, but I think they also got to look at it from the perspective of, are the kids going to come out to see a 63-year-old Iron Man?
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? They'll get whoever's young and cool then. I can't think of... Who's a kid actor who everyone loves?
Macaulay Culkin. That reference is still fresh, right?
So fresh.
Okay, good.
So fresh. Mm. So yeah, there you go. I think that's very exciting, or not exciting.
Yeah. Well, although, like, comic book wise,
yeah,
because that's 14 years.
Yeah.
Comic book wise, like, everything in the Marvel Universe has happened in the last... You know how there's a sliding time scale for comic books? Everything in the Marvel Universe has basically happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they've widened that out even further.
Well, that's true. But you know what else there is to it? Over the next 14 years... There will be a lot of comic book stories written that they'll want to incorporate into these movies. Yeah, so this will be subject to change based on that.
Yeah, yeah.
These movies aren't going to follow the last however many years. Because a lot of the films are basically, it's the last 10 years of film, of comic books that have been written in real time. Roughly, give or take. They borrow from every year or whatever. But there's going to be a lot of stories which will no doubt influence these movies.
Hmm.
We've got a whole lot of comic books that we haven't even read yet, Mason, that we'll probably think are okay.
Sure.
So, you know...
So make that a movie.
Yeah.
Something we think is okay-ish.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. Oh, also, Kevin Feige, also, it was mentioned that he was having a discussion with James Gunn about the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and they're talking about the inclusion of a villain that they're going to put in, which they didn't name, but they were having an argument. James Gunn was like...
Taserface?
It's Taserface, yes.
Okay, good.
No, it's... this villain is in a throne, and it's got rockets on the bottom, so it's a flying throne, and... Kevin Feige's like, just put, like, gravity discs. It doesn't have to be rockets or whatever.
Right, right.
What villain do you think it is who would have a big rocket throne?
Well, rocket throne.
I'd like to think it's, like, a 21st century version of the wishing chair. The The classic Eden Blyton tale.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people are assuming Thanos. Because I'd imagine he's the kind of guy that would have a rocket throne.
Yeah, totally. Sure. He could have a throne. You know? I'm trying to think of a character who... See, I would... Metron from the DC Universe, one of the new gods.
He's got
a rocket throne.
They'd get him in.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who the Marvel version of him is. I'm going to think on it, and I'll just shout it out during the episode if I think of one.
I got one for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
I think it is Thanos.
Yeah.
But what about MODOK? It's not really a throne he's in. He's in a kind of...
In Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, why not?
Nah, he's very Earth-based.
He is very Earth-based, but he looks incredibly weird. And I think
it'd make more sense to say
he's got a space influence than this horrible monster, whatever. What happened to that guy? What's his deal?
He's an AIM experiment.
Okay.
And he's got a lady friend called Modam.
Oh, I know that. I remember first seeing him in the Iron Man 90s TV show and being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, this horrible monster.
I think that's part of his strategic, you know, that's part of his battle strategies. He just rolls up and be like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I also thought it could be C-3PO from Return of the Jedi when he flies around in the chair.
Yeah, cool, yeah. Could be R2-D2 with his little jets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we're good at this, aren't we?
It could be... a villain from a James Bond film.
Yeah.
And James Bond has pulled the ejector seat on the car and it's ejected the bad guy from the car and he's just shot into space and he's been flying through space forever. And now he's a Marvel villain. He's achieved immortality.
I hope that's how he explains his origin as well. It's like, well, I was in a car, then I was shot into space and now I'm a Marvel villain. I would love that.
Yeah, see? There you go.
All right, Mason, that's pretty much the news for this week. There might be more news, though, because as you know, because you're here right now, we're recording this on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to record on a Saturday, but you backed me into a corner.
I did, yeah.
Because, you know, I feel it's too far away, but at the same time, who cares, you know?
Because it's technically still Friday in the US.
Oh, yeah, so it is too.
News could be happening.
Yeah, right now.
We'll miss out on news. We'll look like right idiots. What if something...
And we can't have that, can we?
Something... Yeah, exactly. What if something Fantastic Four something?
Oh, my God.
What if Doctor Doom becomes a lady again, you know? Ms. Doom.
Oh, jeez, but Louise. Mm. Well, Mason, I just want to say a quick thank you to some people.
Okay,
Our Bandcamp website.
Is it me?
No.
Oh.
I mean, thanks, I guess.
But
do
I
want
made
to thank
you this mug.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're a fucking mug. How about that? Sorry, I appreciate it.
No, yeah, it's all right.
A few people have donated to our Bandcamp, the Captain America commentary track we did.
Yeah, great.
Theweeklyplanet.bandcamp.com. Benjamin Griffith.
Is it Griffiths, but you can't pronounce the S? Are you okay?
There's no S. There's an S on the end. Sam McDonald, Nicholas M, William B, and Jeffrey C. They all donated money, which we really appreciate. Anywhere between $1 and $5 those guys pitched in. So guys, really appreciate it. And you know what? I feel bad because...
You spent it all on drugs.
I spent it all on drugs. But not only that, I feel like we could have done better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like people
should have. Yeah.
So the next one, the Amazing Spider-Man one, I've got some emails, some people, some hints and tips.
We're going to go all out on that.
We're going to go all out. It's going to be the best thing on the internet. And we're going to make it so that you can listen to it without even having the Spider-Man film playing in front of you.
That's a really
we're
going to
nail
idea.
It. Because that's how Kevin Smith does it on Fat Man and Batman. That's how I want to do it.
You could be going for a jog.
That's right.
You could be doing another thing.
Yeah.
Shopping at the supermarket. Having a grand old time. You know?
Yucking it up.
Fist fighting with somebody on top of a train, you know?
But Kevin...
Sword fighting with somebody on top of a train.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. All sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. Probably, that's... If you... Forget it.
Okay,
I was going to talk about train surfing and the perils of train surfing.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to get into it.
No. People don't train surf anymore, I don't think.
Occasionally I see it on the paper where it's like, look at these local hoodlums train surfing. Danger to society and themselves, which I guess it is. But if, you know, if someone's to climb on a train and fall off and kill themselves, it's not my loss.
Yeah, exactly. And think about it. It's real cool. Like smoking.
Anyway, Kevin Ely, though, he donated us $40.
That's amazing.
It's too much money.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. I emailed him and I said, is this a mistake? If it's a mistake, I'm happy to refund you.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad he said no, because I wouldn't even know how to do that.
But, yeah, exactly.
But I would have worked it out. So I really, really appreciate that.
Listen,
that's incredible.
We couldn't figure out how to refund you, so we bought you $40 worth of stamps and we've mailed them to you. You can use those.
So yeah, thank you, Kevin. Really
Absolutely,
appreciate it. That's incredible. He said the reason he wanted to do it is because it pays for a couple of months of the show. And he wants to trap you in the windowless box that we are currently
Great, thank
in.
You.
So, yeah.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, appreciate it. But he also was a bit confused about the donating system because I said there's a donate button. There's actually not. It's the pay now button.
Right.
If you want to donate, hit pay now. But you know what? Hold off on paying until we do the Spider-Man one.
Until we do a real good
one. Yeah, but thank you to all those people.
Absolutely.
All right, Mason. Well, we're here to talk about something important. World hunger.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Moving
Just
on.
Get a burger in you.
Moving along, though, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. That's what this episode's all about, mate.
I didn't see it, though.
You son of a bitch!
I saw it.
You April Fooled me.
April Fools, buddy.
Look, that's exploded into cinemas across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Massive openings they're predicting for the US. It's been
exploding into cinemas and massive openings. This has gotten weird already.
It's all the buzzword.
Else?
I'm trying to use the Hollywood buzzwords.
It's really moistened cinema, hasn't it?
It makes me seem more legitimate.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think? It makes me seem one of those cool Hollywood guys.
Oh,
like,
good point.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like your blit, boo, you know?
Yeah, Entertainment Tonight style.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh, great.
I could do that.
You've got the hair for it, so you probably could.
Sweet. Thanks, man. Yeah. Cool. All right. So, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Could I just talk about my experience seeing that initially?
Yes.
I'll keep this brief because it's not that interesting. But when we got there, I went with my two bros,
uh-huh.
my brothers, great
Your
guys.
Your actual brothers?
No.
Oh.
Well, yes.
Okay.
But I call them bros in the other way, you know?
Yeah.
We train surf.
Great.
Anyway.
It's real cool.
There was a big line or whatever when I paid $50 for the ticket. I've said that before because we got some bonus stuff. Stuff I don't want, so, you know, great. I got a limited edition Guardians of the Galaxy poster, which I'll never open. Maybe I'll give it away. But then giving it away would involve me posting it to somebody. And, you know.
Well, we've got those $40 worth of stamps.
So oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a guy there in a Captain America outfit.
When you say guy, do you mean a guy employed by the...
Valid question, Mason.
By the movie theater.
Well,
and
we weren't
like,
sure.
Hey, it's me.
We weren't sure. One of my brothers asked the ticket person, like, is this guy... Did you pay this guy? Or is he just a guy? They're like, no, we paid him.
Okay.
Like, okay.
Relief.
And so my brothers are like, let's get a photo with him. And I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't end up getting a photo. But my younger brother, who's, as you know, is giant. He's like 6 foot two. Yeah. Stood next to this guy. And look, I'm not a tall guy by any stretch, but I towered over this guy.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
He was the smallest Captain America I've ever seen. So my little brother got a photo with him. And then my older brother goes, listen, I want to get a photo as well. But he just goes to the guy, listen, which is kind of insulting, but I found it funny. He's like, can I just hold your shield? I just want a photo with a shield. So just kind of like the guy stood to the side of my brother got a photo with the shield. But when he was taking the photo, my brother made a comment. He's like, yeah, America or something or whatever as a joke. And the guy's like, nah, mate, Australia. It's Captain Australia. He's like, dude, stay in character.
Come on, mate. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Let's all go along with it. But yeah, so that was very amusing for me, I thought.
I feel if you're going to hire a promotional person for your premiere, he should probably be... There should be no question as to whether or not he is there for the premiere as an employee, not just a fan.
Yeah,
so maybe get a guy who's 6 foot four or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure, but you know, good luck to him, whatever. He's making a bit of cash.
So, unless he just works at the cinema.
No, I don't think he did.
Okay.
There was also a Scarlet Witch there.
Oh.
Who we didn't... I don't think she worked there.
Okay, you could have got a photo. You could have hover-handed her.
Yeah, I don't want to be like... Because I'm pretty sure she didn't work there. Also, I don't do that. It sounds really weird. But I don't like going up to someone going, hey, can I get a photo?
That's true, yeah.
I feel like a real arsehole. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, yeah, if I walk past, I go, hey, nice outfit. And I keep going. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. But at the same time, I really do want a photo with them. So it's that conflicting kind of thing, you know?
So you just walk past and you're like, ooh, I want a photo. And then you just keep walking.
Exactly.
You're great.
So yeah, some people though on Mason are calling, oh, do you have anything to say about the opening when you saw it? Any amusing stories?
I just went to the cinema.
Oh, wow. What a journey.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Some people are calling this movie, including Derek Jenza. He's a guy on Twitter. He's really good. He's in this band called Artificial Agent. He's a great guy. Huh. Check him out. Anyway, he's saying, and others, among others, that it is better than The Dark Knight. What do you think of that?
I think they're two different genres. See, I think The Dark Knight is in its own separate category.
Fair point.
It's more a dark exploration of the human mind.
Would you say they transcend different genres? That doesn't make sense.
They don't transcend any genres, but...
No, I
feel that Dark Knight's kind of a psychological crime film.
Yep.
That just happens to have a couple of people in costumes.
Okay.
And a couple of stunts.
Yeah.
You know, that are more spectacular than, say, The Departed, but it's still... It's more in that genre.
It's got a truck flip.
It does have a truck flip, you're right.
I don't get sick of the truck flip.
No. It's got some Flying Fox work.
You know,
it's pretty great.
My favourite.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I do not include The Dark Knight in sort of that fun superhero category. Like, okay. I really enjoy The Winter Soldier. Spoiler alert.
Sure.
But it's a fun superhero film, and The Dark Knight, I don't necessarily think is a... It's got fun elements to it. It's an enjoyable film.
Yeah.
But I don't go, oh, that's a fun superhero film. I'll sit down and watch.
There's that really fun bit where Batman gets attacked by dogs.
That was pretty fun, yeah. And he's like, ah, my arm! I wish I'd built this suit so I wouldn't be bitten by dogs.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So yes, how we're going to do this, I thought we'd go spoiler-free initially.
Great.
Even though by the time this comes out, most people would have seen it. And then we'll very clearly say, this is the spoiler mark, and we're going to spoil everything.
Yeah, that's including my favorite
post-credit scenes and Easter eggs and all sorts of stuff.
You were telling me, it's when you do a review of something, it's really annoying to not be able to just spoil everything, right?
Yeah, I've said this before, I do not enjoy doing reviews.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've got to churn them out really quickly, and I feel like I don't put the effort into them that I want to do it. And I'm like, I could have made that better or that funnier, I could have used a better picture, and that timing's off on whatever. And I hate it.
Mm.
So,
because the natural instinct is you see the movie with some friends and then you just want to talk about everything about it.
Exactly.
You don't want to hold back.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is how it ends. No, I'm kidding.
So yeah, in general, obviously, we both really, really enjoyed this movie. How do you think it stacked up against other Marvel movies?
I think it's way up there. I think it's... Absolutely. I think action-wise, it's probably better than The Avengers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big call, right?
Well, look, I think, you know, there's definitely something to that. Every action scene is gripping. None of them felt like tacked on to me. Mm-hmm. Not that they did in The Avengers, but I don't know. They felt more that they did a lot of real stunt work and things like that. And I think that really helped, you know? So, yeah.
I feel that especially the martial arts, the hand-to-hand fighting is so, so much better than anything else we've seen in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I did think of you when I was in there, as I often
do. Because of my great martial arts skills.
Exactly. What's it? Where there is a lot of quick cutting in the in the fighting, but you didn't think... I know you don't like that. Did you...
Thought the choreography sort of overcame that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was cut together in a way where it made sense, the cuts. Because sometimes when they cut... A bad example of this is Taken 2, where it cuts so quickly, and I'm like,
still Taken.
Yeah.
Subtitle.
But like when it cuts, they're like flips, and then they're standing on the opposite sides of each other. This I thought flowed really well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is a spoiler, but you know, when Captain America initially, he went into the army.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield. Sorry.
He's gone from a guy who's had some military training in the 40s.
Yeah.
He's been frozen over. He's had to survive. You know, he's unfrozen. He's basically gone directly into the battle for New York.
Yeah.
And he's just been kind of a tough guy with a lot of grit.
Yeah.
Who's punching his way through Nazis and then aliens.
Yeah.
And now he's received a lot of SHIELD training.
Yeah,
and now
exactly.
He's a guy who's, you know, he can very easily stack up against supervillains or what have you. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it really shows. I don't know if the directors were just like, well, we'll ramp up the action choreography.
Yeah.
If they thought about that. Let's make him this kind of special forces operative now.
Yeah.
But either way.
Either way it works. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they didn't draw attention to whether he'd had more training or whatever, but that's exactly what I thought. It looked like that he'd been spending his nights practicing whatever. Because even though he can thump a guy really, really hard, but he still needs those skills to kind of... Because he's going to come up against somebody who's a better fighter than him, and regardless how strong he is, getting kicked in the face really hurts.
Sure does.
So, yeah. Did you think...
A lot of more exciting trick shots, I thought.
A lot of what, sorry?
Trick shots with the shield.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I still don't understand how that works.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. I bet if we looked right now, there'd be multiple articles, you know, from science blogs about the inexplicable physics of his shield.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was worried initially going in. Well, first of all, the directors, the Russo brothers, had only done like episodes of Community and some other stuff. And I loved their work, but I was like, are these
the
right...
That makes sense. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, well, that's it. Mm. But I was like, are these the right guys to choose? I don't know. But absolutely, they were the right guys to choose for this. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nailed it. I was also worried that it was going to be like the Avengers light, because I remember reading an article on that. It's kind of like, yeah, we got the Falcon, we got Black Widow, we got Nick Fury. It's kind it's kind of like the Avengers kind of B team. I'm like, I don't want to see the Avengers B team.
No, exactly, yeah.
But lo and behold, every edition I felt was really, really good. I particularly liked the Black Widow was great. But Falcon was an awesome addition.
I think it was a great character. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I hope we'll see more of him. I don't think he's going to be in the Avengers 2. But he'll no doubt turn up at some point. Maybe at a children's birthday party.
Ghostbusters 2 style.
Exactly.
He's fallen on hard times.
So yeah, I think that was great. Also, did you think... I thought Iron Man and Thor didn't manage... The Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 didn't manage to do this, but the balance of between humor and seriousness was done well. It didn't like jump between. It wasn't as jarring. Like, you know, when like Thor... where like his brother just dies and then there's the phone call, the phone rings and it's a wacky ringtone.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Iron Man, Tony Stark's love of his life plummets to her death, so he thinks. And then he's quipping like a few minutes later.
That's true, yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. There was none of that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good.
Well, I think there was less humor overall.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I like that though, I think. I think they found the right balance, in particular for this style of film. Yeah. I'm not sure though, is it really a movie for kids, this one?
No. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the gauge is anymore. Well, like a lot of people get shot.
Yeah. But not only that, I think it would be
slash kicked into engines.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I love a guy getting kicked into an engine. But I think the plot is a little bit convoluted for a kid.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a kid doesn't go for the plot, though. A kid goes to see Captain America throw his mighty shield.
Yeah.
But I'm talking young kids. I think any kid between, like, 10 and late teens or whatever.
The plot is a little bit elaborate. I think you're probably right.
And it does tie into a lot of films, a lot of other films.
But at the same time, I feel you could... There's enough... Like, think of, say, I don't know, a Phantom Menace.
Sure.
That plot is very convoluted.
Yeah.
And the action sequences are so few and far between that I think a child would get very bored.
Yeah.
I think you could probably go into Captain America... A kid could probably go into Captain America 2 and there's enough...
Yeah.
The action sequences keep on rolling, I think, enough that a kid would not be bored.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. You've done a thing then.
I have done a thing. I've had a thought and I've expressed that thought.
Is there anything else we want to say before we get into spoiler territory? Because there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about.
No, it was real good.
Good costumes.
Very good costumes. Thank you. Yes.
So yeah, look, from this point on, let's say spoilers. So we can say whatever we want at any point.
Hang on. Do I have any more non-spoilery stuff to
say? Just chuck it in the spoilers part.
Yeah, it's fine. You know what? It did feel as if you know how we've talked about Thor: The Dark World?
We have.
And the entire universe was at stake.
Yes.
But it never really felt like the whole universe was at stake.
Yeah.
There did feel like a genuine sense of danger in this film.
Absolutely.
I thought. More so, even though it was just, you know, it was the stakes were lower. The entire universe was not at stake in this film. But I did feel there was much more tension in this film.
Absolutely.
They really ratcheted up the tension.
They did.
Mm.
Tension ratchet.
Yeah.
Tension ratchet?
Yeah, tension ratchet.
All right, spoilers from this point.
Okay, spoilers, here we go.
I'm putting my hand down. Yes. That's the spoiler warning.
Okay, good.
All right. What did you think of the... you're obviously alluding to the twist that S.H.I.E.L.D. was infiltrated by Hydra.
Correct.
Yeah. I thought that was incredible.
Hmm.
Did you? What did you think?
That felt a little bit like Quantum of Solace style.
Okay.
Yeah, MI6 has been infiltrated by Quantum for decades and nobody's noticed. No, that's an interesting twist on the whole... Marvel Universe. It's sort of changed everything.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are going to go back now and look for telltale signs and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm. You know, with Agent Sitwell, who's in it, who turns out to be a Hydra agent, I never liked that guy.
Interesting.
And I just thought...
Have you ever said that in a video?
No. I can't prove it.
Exactly.
I can't prove it, mate. He didn't sit well with me.
Oh!
I'll tell you that much. But, you know, like you see Coulson and he's kind of happy-go-lucky and he's... whenever, you know, Sitwell's got his own one shot and I'm like, I don't even like this guy. He's kind of a dick.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, turns out he's a Hydra agent. Whether that was planned out all along or not, who's to say, Mason?
Correct, yes.
But he even got punched out in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. At one point, or knocked out in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So yeah,
it's an amazing disparity between the S.H.I.E.L.D. we see in Captain America 2 and the S.H.I.E.L.D. we see in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Are you talking because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just set on a plane?
Yeah, exactly. it's like they're the weird backwater.
Yeah,
it does feel a lot like they're the special ed team.
It feels like they're treading water between big films.
Oh yeah, it does feel like that, doesn't it? Yeah, you're right.
Because last week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. basically leads into Captain America, not like specifically, but you can see how next week there's going to be ramifications because to the extent that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been infiltrated and whatever. And I do think that show is getting better, but its budget constraints is notable.
Right, gotcha.
You know, but that's it's TV.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? Mm. But I initially I thought the whole of S.H.I.E.L.D. was pretty much like 90% of it was Hydra.
Right.
That was my initial thought. And I'm like, wow, that's really going to change everything. But I'm not really sure. By the end, I was kind of like, oh, it's some Hydra. They're not all Hydra.
Right, exactly. You know what
I mean? So I think it is going to change the universe, but not as much as I initially thought.
Yeah. Let's talk about action sequences because we can spoilerize them now.
You know it.
Yeah. Okay. I like the inclusion of Batroc.
Yeah, the beginning.
The Leaper.
The Leaper, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, and they got it. You know what? They got him to leap around, but not in a ridiculous way, which I appreciate. And they, yeah.
That was great. What a really good fight scene.
They've incorporated a Captain America villain into Captain America, which is nice. That was fun.
They even got the outfit accurate.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
He's purple.
Yeah, he had a purple jumpsuit with a yellow stripe down the front.
Okay, that's all right.
What do you think of that?
No winged face plate.
There were elements.
Yeah, it was good to see, and it was an excellent sort of hand-to-hand sequence. I thought it was really, really good.
And Steve Rogers can speak French.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No.
Or did I?
Nah.
I didn't put it in a video, so I can't prove it.
There's no way to prove it, yeah.
As far as villains go, even though he wasn't in it as much as I thought he'd be, the Winter Soldier is a terrifying villain.
Yes.
Like, just the way when you see him coming and how fast he is and how he can really hurt you quite a lot and kill you and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Like, he's the most threatening villain we've had in a long time.
Mm.
Like you wouldn't, like, when you'd see him, you just want to get away. Like, yes. You know what I mean? You don't want to go in close.
Mm.
And, like, that's evident when he, you know, goes up against, even Captain America, he can hold his own quite easily against Captain America.
Uh-huh.
And in that bit where when the Falcon's trying to get away, you know, right. At the end, when they're on top of the thing.
And he just grabs one of those wings.
Just tears his wings off.
You would think, and I didn't want to say this pre-spoilers, but you would think that the wings would have something built in to counteract that. Like, they're electrified or something?
Anti-Terry-offy.
Yeah, anti-Terry-offy things, yeah. They do seem very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, when you think Iron Man doesn't have any incredibly vulnerable wings to be...
Oh, no, he doesn't, does he?
No.
That's a really good point. You could just probably just have the jetpack without the wings, maybe. But, yeah.
But then he wouldn't be him, would he?
No, that's true.
Mm.
He wouldn't be the Falcon.
Nick Fury gets his own solo action sequence.
Yes!
His very first one.
About time!
And I think, I'm glad that it was great.
It was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really super solid.
Yeah. Really tense.
Very, incredibly tense.
He had the machine gun in the car.
That's what I'm talking about as far as, like, these are great action sequences. That was super tense.
Yeah.
Like, we know logically that he has a few more movies left on his contract.
Yeah.
So he couldn't die, really. Or maybe he can come back as a whole.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm like, yeah, you know what? He could be dead. But then I also thought, they killed Coulson, so, and they brought him back, so does it matter even if he is dead?
That's true, yeah.
You know?
Probably a bad move. Putting the machine gun inside the car. Don't you think?
You don't like that?
No.
Yeah,
fair because
point.
The windows are bulletproof.
Oh, yeah, good
so
point.
So who's that for shooting? People inside the car?
That's a really good point.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. But, what was I going to say? That whole... Can't remember.
Mm.
Great action sequence. Oh, yeah, the hover car. You know, he's trying to activate the hover
part
of the car.
That's right, yeah, yeah,
and then they never even ended up doing it, but I thought that was a nice little touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's trying to get the car flying, and it just doesn't fly at all.
Mm.
Doesn't fly with him, mate. You know?
I get it.
Yeah. You get it. So I thought that was great. You know what else I loved?
What's that?
There was a Zola. He was a mind in a computer.
Yes.
And you know I love a mind in a computer.
I know you do. I know you
it's know.
It's my
favorite thing.
You love a face on a computer screen.
Yeah.
You love that.
That was amazing. Mm. Bringing back Zola. I knew he was coming back in some capacity. I thought he'd be in flashback. But it was terrific.
I thought he'd be in like a Wolfenstein, like big clanky robot, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been good too.
That
would
have been great.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a shame that he was killed off so quickly though.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I loved all the old like 1970s computer technology.
Yes.
His whole mind is in that entire room.
Right, right, right.
That was fantastic. That was a nice little twist, I thought, as well, chucking Zola in. As soon as it booted up, I'm like, oh my god, it's Zola! Uh-huh. Ah! I was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ruined everybody else's movie going experience.
I did. And I also loved the Gary Shandling twist.
Me too. Who doesn't love a Gary Shandling twist?
And that also makes sense because Gary Shandling hates Tony Stark.
Right.
And is a prick. And it turns out he's a Hydra agent.
Hmm.
People, well, I think maybe it was just me. I gasped when he said, Hail Hydra. I was like, couldn't believe it, mate.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. So that was terrific. Crossbones, though. What do you think of Crossbones?
Wait a second.
The guy who gets all burnt up, who beats up the Falcon.
Okay, right.
What's his real name? Can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. But yeah, that guy will become Crossbones at some point.
That makes sense. I did like the appearance of patron saint of this podcast, Callan Mulvey.
Oh, yeah.
Jurassic
right.
from Heartbreak High.
You know it. He's just been cast in Batman vs. Superman as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, he's making waves.
You know it.
Good for him.
Yeah. Mm. Patron saint. Yeah, that was amazing. Mm. So, yeah. Really, really cool. I was a little bit disappointed that there was no Red Skull. Even though...
I kind of hoped that Robert Redford would be the Red Skull. I mean, Robert Redford. you know?
I know what you mean.
Mark Webb style, they've cast him.
Yeah.
Because he's got a name that's similar to the thing.
Did you enjoy the inclusion of Robert Redford?
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Isn't he the best?
Yeah.
I think Robert Redford spoiled months and months ago that he was the villain, though.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so he's just one of those guys. He's, you know, whatever age, he doesn't care.
I think back in the day, that wasn't as much of a concern. Like, you'd be cast as the villain. You'd be like, well, I'm the villain in this.
And then, like, yeah,
you would see how that played out.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly
But nowadays, it's very important to get that under wraps. Come on, man.
It's all cloak and dagger, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all cloak and dagger. Mm. So, do you think that it really does change everything in the Marvel Universe?
Well, they've destroyed S.H.I.E.L.D. The S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone again.
Well, some of it.
Wait, are they... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that going to be reflected in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I believe
Bearing in mind, I don't care.
I don't know whether I answer this or not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think it will.
But everything's been destroyed, right? All the intelligence is gone?
Well, or in the open, yeah.
Right, right.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it changes everything in that sense, but S.H.I.E.L.D. is still there. You know, it's still a thing. I think people just have less trust in it or whatever. But apparently it's going to be reflected in the next Avengers movie because the Avengers won't really have the backing of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're kind of more in an independent team like the A-Team. That was the comparison drawn. So, yeah, I think that'll be interesting, where you can't rely on your S.H.I.E.L.D. base. And of course, the Avengers Tower makes a very brief appearance in the movie. Mm. You know when all the guns are targeting stuff?
Yes, yes.
It targets the Avengers Tower, which was, of course, the Stark Tower. So they've still got a base of headquarters, but that's, for all intents and purposes, that's Tony Stark's tower.
Yeah.
He can do what he wants in that tower.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, all they've got is Tony Stark's billions of dollars. That'll be...
They'll have to get by.
They'll have to get by, yeah. Yeah.
What about the after credits scenes?
Oh, yeah.
You got some Baron von Strucker.
That's true, yeah.
You got some Loki's scepter.
Yeah, we did.
You got some Scarlet Witch.
And Quicksilver.
They look like really scary dudes.
And they look... Quicksilver especially looks better than Days of Future Past Quicksilver.
Yes, that is the case. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're being mind-controlled by Loki's scepter?
No, I think they're just... No, because I think we would have seen... We'd have seen some element of that. We'd have seen, like, electric-y, power-y thingamajiggies.
See, I think that is the case.
Okay.
I think that's some of what's
going
on.
Well, you've called
there.
It, so let's see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been wrong before.
Correct, yeah.
Especially about that Agent Sitwell thing.
Yeah.
But you know what else I thought was really interesting?
Did they have the black eyes of somebody who's been mind-controlled?
No, I don't think so. Well, they had the crazy face, though.
They did have crazy face, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, a guy who wrote into me, and he said I could take credit for this, but I'm not going to take credit because I'm a fucking super cool dude.
Yep.
You know it. Jack Poison Lips Sheehan.
Don't think that's his real name. But
that's what he said.
Okay.
So.
And you've never been wrong before, so
I guess. No, that's right. He thinks that the Loki staff could be being used to bring Red Skull back. Because Red Skull went into
space. He did go into space, didn't he? Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
And
okay. And
the staff opens portals and whatnot, and I'd imagine, and stuff. Right?
That is an excellent theory. I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Why else would they be needing the staff?
Yeah. So it'd be great to see Red Skull again in some capacity. But I think that they're in the opening sequence of Captain America, Baron von Strucker and all that. So yeah, I think that'll be kind of the opening bad guy, and then other stuff, other things happen. Do you think Ultron will tie into... Zola?
No
computer intelligence.
I think he's gone forever. I don't think.
No, I'm not saying they're the same thing, but I think the technology. Do you think the technology
is
linked?
No, I'm going to say, unless they can find a way that Howard Stark somehow had a hand in that technology, and that was brought along to Tony Stark, who then created Jarvis.
Yeah,
I think this is just going to be an offshoot of Jarvis.
Probably. Okay, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. You're probably right. Look, Mason, did you know though?
Yes, I'm ready.
There are a lot of Easter eggs in this movie.
I'm ready to listen.
Iron Man mentioned.
Easter time is coming, so...
Yes.
Is that what you meant?
Tis the season, yes.
Mm, okay.
There are multiple... I've got a video on this online if you want to check it out as well. Or I could just tell you.
You could tell me with your words.
There's multiple Iron Man mentions, as we know. Tony Stark's name dropped by Robert Redford. They target him in the machine.
Yep, correct.
They targeted him. He also, you know, he rebuilt the
helicarriers. Their repulsor powder.
Because he
now,
got mashed in one.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
He did not enjoy that.
No, sir.
So, yeah. Howard Stark's death as well is also referenced.
Hydra were behind it.
Mm. So, initially, that was a car accident. Well, it's... Still is a car accident.
Oh, sure.
But it's a Hydra-caused car accident. Mm. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way to tie everything in. Tony Stark probably won't like that.
No. Was it implied that the Winter Soldier did that?
They didn't say. Yeah.
That'll be awkward.
Yeah.
In future.
Well, he's killed a lot of people that people like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Very awkward. Mm. The Avengers Tower I mentioned. Stephen Strange reference.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
He's one of the designated targets.
That's it.
And he hasn't done anything yet, or has he?
We don't know. No. I don't think he's got the powers yet.
No.
Because otherwise they would have, yeah. But I thought that was a really great reference.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to see that Doctor Strange?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
I want to see if they're going to be, if it's going to be science that is indistinguishable from magic, or if it's going to be magic.
Okay. I think they're leaning towards it is magic, but there are
it's magic. You know, never believe it's not so.
Exactly.
Yep.
But some of it is but some of it, like, it can be explained by science to an extent.
Right.
You're like, oh,
like
this
Thor style. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thor style.
Yes.
Yeah. Long hair, sleeveless t-shirt.
Fantastic.
Thor style. Danny Pudi.
Yes, there we go. There's your community reference.
There's your community reference. If anyone who watches the TV show Community, he plays Abed in that show. Great show.
Yep.
And he makes an appearance. I loved that. I was like, great inclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, and I think, because, you know, we get the regular Stan Lee appearance.
This yes.
time he's a security guard at the Captain America Museum.
That Captain America gets fired.
Yeah, exactly. He's out on the streets. He's a very old man now. The cold will not be kind to him.
People love the Stan Lee cameo. People in the cinema were like, yay, when he
But what out. I'm thinking is because we also had an appearance from comedian DC Pearson as the Apple player.
I forgot that.
I'm hoping in the next film we get some sort of passing of the torch from Stan Lee to DC Pearson. How good would that be?
That would be amazing.
Because Stan Lee's got to retire from this eventually.
Yeah,
right?
He does.
I think we just get DC
Why
Pearson.
DC Pearson more than anybody else?
I don't know, because he had a really ridiculous beard.
He did have that a ridiculous beard. Yeah, yeah. That was great. Howling Commandos were, of course, referenced multiple times. You see them. You see their suits and all that. You know the note that Captain America looks at the start of the movie and it's got a list of things he needs to catch up on?
Yes.
That varies from country to country.
Does it really?
In our country, it's...
We got ACDC.
We got Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Because I remember seeing that and being like, surely that's not a thing that everybody would want to catch
really
up on.
Did it really say that? I missed that.
It said Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. By the way, who is a wallaby? Spoiler alert. Wow. He's not a real kangaroo. But I know overseas, I think they had some particular World Cup that happened.
Oh, I see. Right.
And a bunch of other stuff. And
that's clever.
Certain bands. And some things stay the same. I think the Berlin Wall was a constant
in
all of them or whatever. But yeah, oh, that's a nice little touch. That's a nice little touch, I thought.
I guess so. But at the same time, yeah, why is he... Who's referenced Skippy the Bush Kangaroo to him? Nobody.
I think they just went, what's Australian?
Right.
Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. You know what? Chuck in a... I think Steve Irwin might have even been on there.
Steve Irwin was on there. Yeah, you're right.
Chuck in a Crocodile Dundee 3, Los Angeles.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Steve Irwin was much more popular in the US than he was in Australia.
That's true, yeah. The first time I saw him, I'm like, is this guy a clown? Is this a joke?
Right.
And now he's dead.
He's your parody character.
Yeah.
Oh, we miss him.
Turns out he's not. But it seemed like a very genuine guy. Good on him or whatever.
Yeah.
I once caught a stingray. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
I didn't pull it into the boat because it was an enormous and it killed Steve Irwin that time.
Right. It was the very same one and you let it go? Wow.
I don't have hate in my heart. I forgive.
Okay,
even people who kill national treasures and people who don't like the movie National Treasure.
Thank you. There we go.
Also, Tommy Lee Jones. You see an appearance of Tommy Lee Jones briefly? A picture of him in the S.H.I.E.L.D. bunker.
Uh-huh.
Also, Scarlett Johansson, and you can't really see this, I only saw this afterwards. She's wearing a tiny arrow pendant around her neck.
Oh, indicating, Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh, I thought Arrow, TV show Arrow.
Oh, yeah, she's just a big fan of the show. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess they're in a relationship.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, there you go. Sharon Carter, his neighbor, of course, isn't referred to as Sharon Carter. No, they just call her Sharon.
Yeah, Agent 13.
Yeah. But she is from the comics. She is Hayley Atwell, who is Peggy Carter's niece.
Yep.
But I think they'd have to change it to great grandniece or something. I don't think she could actually just be her niece.
No, that wouldn't work at all.
Peggy Carter would be like 90 years old.
Yeah, so she'd have to be like 50.
Yeah. Did you like the aged Peggy Carter?
I didn't think it was great.
That was CGI, man.
I don't think it was great.
I thought it was as best as you could do it.
I think it worked, but I think she didn't look old enough.
Okay, yeah.
She's supposed to be 90, right?
She'd be at least.
She did not look like 90. She looked like 60.
Yeah, fair point.
I understand that she's a very attractive woman, and you can't go too far.
You don't want to make her a monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But she should not have looked like that.
Okay, fair point. Because you'd still bang her, and that's
it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That is exactly my point.
There was also a Pulp Fiction reference. Sam Jackson's grave.
Gravestone has Ezekiel 25:17 on it.
That's it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you for reminding me. That was a delight.
There was a War Games reference, the movie War Games.
Correct, yes.
Do you want to play a game? And then when you know, that came up And Scarlett Johansson goes to Steve Rogers.
That's a very popular film, yeah.
Yeah, but, and he's like, yeah, I've seen it. Surely you wouldn't have gone back and watched War Games.
Oh, no, it's war related.
Is it significant? A significant film?
You know what? He might have gone, what happened, you know, militarily.
Okay.
In the intervening time. Cold War. Mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
Films about that. War Games.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
So he watched War Games and Red Dawn.
Yes, and then Red Dawn Remake.
So yeah, there's also apparently a Paul Newman reference. In Robert Redford's fridge, there's a Paul Newman bottle of Paul Newman's dressing or whatever. As we know, though.
And there's a scene where he pulls it out. There's a deleted scene where he pulls it out. And he's like, I outlived you! Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha!
He really is evil. He's an evil man, isn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
you know what? Redford looked really good in this film.
Yeah, he's
I
the
thought
best.
He would have looked very, very old.
And you know what? He was into it as well. Okay, he doesn't turn in a tired performance.
That's true.
He's great. Mm. He's got a new movie at the moment where he's stuck on a boat. I think I've spoken about it before. I've got a copy of it and I've got to watch it.
Boat Lounger.
Yeah, it's just him on a boat and he's trapped. Huh. Apparently it's really, really good. And I love Redford. You know it.
I know you do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So there you go. But I think that's all the Easter egg-y things.
Love it. That's some good stuff.
You know it. Mm. There's one more thing I want to say and admit, and this is kind of embarrassing.
You didn't see it? Yes. You're just guessing about what happened?
You know the bit at the end where Steve Rogers wakes up after he's been beaten unconscious?
Yep.
And saved by the Winter Soldier.
Where's his shield gone? No. Is that your question?
That's not.
Because that annoys me. That's really got me on edge. Because the shield fell into the ocean. Where is it?
It's like a lake.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's all right.
You can scour a lake.
I guess you could scour a lake.
Me and you could scour a
lake. I would assume that they've built some sort of little homing device.
Oh, they probably have.
You'd think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have. It was my shield. Because that thing's...
It's very expensive and useful.
That's quite rare. You can't get another one of those.
No, you can't. That's it.
Anyway, what annoyed you?
No, it didn't annoy me.
Oh, okay.
But when he woke up and...
I just assumed it's annoyed you because everything annoys
you. That's true. But next to him was the Falcon.
Yep.
And when he wakes up, he goes, Steve Rogers says to him, this is fucking embarrassing. He goes, on your left.
Uh-huh.
And everybody in the cinema laughed. And I sat there and I went...
Because he went on his left.
I know. Okay, and I'm right. I'm like, I don't get that.
You didn't have to admit that right now. Because you've since figured it out.
No, I figured it out like in over the 30 seconds. But at the time,
because
like,
you were like, what does this mean in the cinema?
Because it was weird because everybody laughed. And I'm sitting there and I'm like... How the fuck do I not get this? I get everything.
Right.
Like, I don't miss anything.
You're losing your edge, man.
I must be.
Yeah.
And then I probably went, oh, right, it's that. I'm like, idiot, of course it is. How did I not get that? So that's embarrassing. Mm. I must be losing my edge.
I think so.
Yeah.
Now you'll get it back for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Sharpen that edge right up.
Yeah.
I think that, is there anything else we really want to say about that? Maybe just, do you think Bucky will become the Winter Soldier? Well, he is the Winter Soldier. Do you think he'll become...
Captain America?
Yeah.
Yes, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's kind of foreshadowed when he holds the shield at one point.
Yeah, true.
I'd like to see him as the Winter Soldier. Mm. Well, he's got 9 films in his contract.
And so, yeah, at some point,
Chris Evans has 3 left or right, whatever. Yeah. I don't know how it works out. But, yeah.
Do you think they missed an opportunity? Because in the first post-credit sequence, in the mid-credit sequence,
yeah.
He shows up at the Captain America Museum and he looks at his identity on the big piece of glass. He had the opportunity to smash that glass and he didn't smash that glass. That is a classic move of a man with no memory looking at a big piece of glass or a mirror.
You're right.
Smash that mirror. Smash that glass. He didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Disappointing.
How great was his metal arm, though?
It didn't do enough things.
You wanted it to fly off, didn't you?
I wanted it to fly off. Maybe a grappling hook would work.
Yeah.
Electrical discharge. Yeah. You know, something.
It kind of... It seemed like it had like a little bit of a kick to it.
It had a jackhammer
like
kind of
power
effect.
Up yeah, that
kind was of, good.
That, kind okay. of thing. But yeah, yeah that I thought that was a really interesting element, especially when you pit Steve Rogers against him. Steve Rogers got the shield. He's got the arm. It's kind of... It's really, really cool. Mm. What great action sequences. Hand-to-hand so combat. Yeah. We mentioned that, I'm sure. Did we not?
Knife fight. Great knife fight.
Mm.
He had so many knives on him.
Too many?
No, just enough knives.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, no such thing as too many knives.
No.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, I guess we're down to the rating, Mason.
Okay.
In my review, as you know, I called it worst movie ever.
Yes.
Because the Winter Soldier was not wintry enough.
That's very true, yeah.
And you should have had a winter coat and a bowl of soup for an arc.
Yes.
People, Mason, do not appreciate that.
A bit of levity in their reviews.
I'm never going to stop, though.
No, why would you?
Yeah, yeah. But no, obviously for me, it is best movie ever. I
was
going to
say best movie ever.
Easily the best of the Phase 2 Marvel movies.
Yes.
Even better than the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk.
Even better than that, yes.
Well, would you put it up? So, would you say it's a better movie than the Avengers?
I'm gonna need another watch of it. I think I'm gonna watch it again. But I think it could very well edge out the Avengers as my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. And must be terrifying for DC that they have Captain America go up against them in 2016. Captain
America 3.
I think they should be.
I
think they bloody should be, because Captain America is now a massive kind of property. This movie is set to break all sorts of April records. And they reckon it's going to make $100 million in the US over the weekend and all that stuff. So I think it's going to do some damage, man.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. But again, I think, as we've said, we've never seen Superman and Batman team up on screen before. We've kind of seen what Captain America can do at this point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Will you see first is my question.
Whichever one I'm able to see first.
Okay, right.
But if they're at the same time.
Yep, they're exactly the same time.
I'd have to see the Batman vs. Superman trailer first. No, trailer first to see.
Oh, yeah. I see. Right.
Yeah, but I like this so much at this point. Maybe Captain America.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Right. But yeah. But you got your Batman, Superman.
You might be right, though. I might have to see the trailers first and see what's more intriguing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, definitely one of my favorite Marvel movies, if not my favorite.
Yeah. If the Superman Batman trailer, there's any hint that they're in some sort of fist fight, I'm going to Superman Batman first.
I think you're in luck.
Yeah.
I think you're in luck. But did you think it was better than the first Iron Man? That's one thing people are saying. Oh, not as good as the first Iron Man, or not as good as Avengers.
I don't know, because I've seen the first Iron Man so many times now that maybe all the suspense of it has worn off.
Sure.
We're
almost nostalgic for it at this point, Mason.
Exactly, yeah.
It's been 6 years.
Oh, back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know, I really enjoyed the first Iron Man.
Yeah,
but as far as like visceral action sequences go, like Iron Man has very fun action sequences.
Yeah.
But like a scene where, you know, he's flying through the Gulmira and they shoot him down.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of the pit and he, you know, dodges the tank shell and then he shoots the tank with a missile. That's a fun action sequence.
That's great.
But there's no tension to it.
No.
Because clearly he's not going to...
It's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, yeah, you're right.
And so, sort of, there's very little tension in an Iron Man action sequence because he's got artificial intelligence and he can fly.
Yeah.
And he's got all sorts of weapons.
Yeah.
So he can just... Oh, there's 10 guys. He can just calculate how to defeat all of them in a second, and then it's sort of a foregone conclusion.
That's why the tension in Iron Man 3 was so ramped up, Mason, because he didn't have a suit for some of it.
That's a real good point. That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I think that there was much more. The action sequences in Captain America 2 are much more visceral.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Kind of more tense. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to give the edge to that.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I think the finale of this is better than the finale of Iron Man as well. The final battle.
It does make more sense.
It does make more sense.
Nobody just went insane. They've been insane for a real long time, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Redford was insane that entire time.
Yeah.
And in real life.
Mm.
Twist. There you go. I feel like there's more to say about that, but I don't know. I feel like the well's empty for the moment, Mason.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Don't think that we won't come back to this well, though. Wells get replenished. Is that how that works?
Yeah, from the groundwater.
Yes.
Mm.
Good.
So when the cinematic groundwater fills us up again...
Do you know, Mason, this is embarrassing. There was a moment in that where I didn't get a joke.
No, I remember that.
Okay.
You told us that
a couple
of minutes ago, yeah.
All right, Mason, you know what it's time for?
Yep.
What we reading?
Oh.
What we gonna read?
Okay.
Good news on what we reading, what we gonna read.
What's that?
Gabriel Bruton, the Brute.
Yes.
He's
creator of our theme
song. He emailed this week. Exactly.
Yes.
Creator of the theme song. He emailed in this week and said, hey, I'm going to do a what we read and what we gonna
what
read.
What a champion.
Theme song.
I love that
guy. I know. Very exciting. He also said, he's got a friend who's illustrated his first comic through the medium of Tumblr. Can we give him a shout out?
Yeah.
And you know, I've been culling the shout outs, but the Brute always gets a shout
Absolutely
out.
Absolutely,
because he's a great bloke. It's also his birthday today, so feel inclined to do a shout out. I'd said that. Did I say that?
No.
Shout out. Happy birthday, friend. His name is Micah, and his comic is called Blood and Lanterns, and that's on Tumblr. So everybody check that out.
Is it bloodandlanterns.tumblr.com?
Yeah, possibly, yes.
Let's assume it is. Yeah.
I should have got it. Just Google that, but yeah, go check it out, guys.
Yeah.
I support independent comics. Do you support them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you, The Brute.
That's going to be what I'm reading.
You don't have one this week?
I didn't think of one, no.
Okay, cool.
No.
Well, I've got one.
Yep.
And it's funny because I was actually going to say this anyway, but then Josh Zingerman sent an email last week.
Zingerman!
Mm. And I was going to bring it up last week, but then because we did a Captain America episode.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, you were here.
Yeah.
So we did Captain America books. But the one that he recommended It's called Black Science from Image Comics. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it's about these dimensionauts. Uh-huh. So they're astronauts that travel through, astronauts that travel through dimensions, and they kind of have to fight to survive. And it's an amazingly illustrated book, and it's got a very compelling story. And uh-huh. I think they're about 4 to 6 issues in, and they go to like a weird kind of alternative World War One kind of world, and a world where there's like frog people and uh-huh. a whole bunch of stuff. And it's intriguing, and it's great. It's Black Science uh-huh. is definitely one to watch, Mason, because I like it, and so does Josh Zingerman.
There you go, the Zingerman.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about, in fact, I've got one.
Hang on. Yes. You said you already had one. You can't have two.
No, I'm going to have two. The rules have gone out the window. Until we get a theme song that locks this thing down, anything goes.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about sort of World War II era characters, what I'm going to read.
Yeah.
And I've had a little bit of a read, but then you've just reminded me.
So this has elements of what we read and what we're going to read.
Correct. Gosh. I've covered all the bases. This is a series called Manhattan Project.
Okay.
And it's from Jonathan Hickman, who is recently has done a really good run on Fantastic Four.
Oh.
Anyway, Manhattan Project is sort of about an alternate World War II.
Yeah.
Sort of a post-World War II era where sort of the Manhattan Project, which was to create the atomic bomb, uh-huh. was actually sort of a front. I mean, they made the atomic bomb. But also, it was a front for sort of all sorts of weird, sort of, really strange and esoteric sort of science projects and sort of weird. We're talking dimensions. We're talking monsters. We're talking Albert Einstein is probably a serial murderer.
What?
It's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good fun.
All right.
So,
what year is that from? What era?
That's quite recent. That came out in 2012.
The Manhattan
and it's happening. It's happening right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe Oppenheimer was the serial killer. I gotta reread it, but it's really good. It's super
All
fun.
Right, the Manhattan Project.
Mm. Manhattan Projects.
Projects. With a Z.
Mm.
Projects. Well, Mason.
Yes?
A couple of listener questions and shout-out this week. I had an idea.
Yes?
For shout-outs.
Yes?
I thought we could turn it into a listener question segment where people write in, ask us a question.
Uh-huh.
It can be a personal question, preferably not, because, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
But, you know, a question about... Oh,
hey, I'm interesting. Oh, that's not true.
But like, you know, about comics or movies or anything uh-huh. in general that that they'd like to know our opinions on, or like to share an opinion and then, you know, us to
I like to hear opinions.
Yeah.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Mm.
So this week we've got one from Joel Acklin.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to know, and I think we are going to do an episode on this, what is your favorite comic book movie video game?
Oh, okay.
He's got a couple here, so I'm going to list these.
Do they have to be movie video games?
No,
just comic book.
Just
video
says
games?
Comic book video
okay,
games.
Okay, ready? Go.
He and his roommate got the infamously terrible Aquaman game for his birthday. I've never heard of that.
I've never seen that one.
Me neither.
It's probably like PS2 era, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it can't be recent, surely.
No.
We know.
His favorites are Spider-Man 2. That's a great one.
Yep.
The Arkham games, except Origins. Ooh, sick Origins burn.
That is a sick Origins burn.
X-Men Legends, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, though he's only played the first one. Which one did we play? Which one did we get
one.
Bogged down
It was
down
one. At? It was one, but it was like previous era. It was like, it was PS2.
Yeah.
So it was not good.
No, we talked about this before, but...
Slogged through it like we were going to work.
It was like going to work.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you fight Galactus at the end, right?
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. I like the colourful roster of characters.
They were good.
Yeah.
One of my favourites was Captain America and the Avengers from back in the day. It was an arcade game.
Okay.
It was super good. It was like a Ninja Turtles kind of game.
Oh, that's cool.
Favourite character, Iron Man.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it was, you play, it was a four player, so it was a four controller system.
Sure.
And it was Captain America, Vision.
Yeah.
Weird beige Vision. Hawkeye, Iron Man. And there was a lot of punching around.
Was it like a side-scrolling brawlery kind of situation?
Side-scrolling brawler kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there were also flying sequences.
Ah,
So Iron Man and the Vision would fly around, and Captain America and Hawkeye would have little, like those little flying chariot Avenger flying hover bike things.
That's great.
It's pretty great.
Like Battletoads.
And you would fight heaps of crazy villains.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
It was really... Well, it wasn't. It was probably not great now. Don't go back.
That sounds okay.
Never go back. And the villain was the Red Skull, so...
Oh, really? At the very end?
Very end.
Wow, I'd never even heard of this.
Whoa.
I used to love those side-scrolling beat-er-up.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles was obviously a classic example.
Yeah.
The Simpsons one was really good as well.
Yeah.
I remember being...
And you would fight the end. You'd fight the Red Skull and be like there in a suit and you'd be like, yeah, I'm the Red Skull. And you'd be like, well, this is going to be pretty easy. And you'd thump him for a bit. And then he would appear and he'd be like, that's not me at all, I'm here. And then he would escape in his escape pod. And the Red Skull you'd been fighting turned into a giant Red Skull robot. It was great.
What a twist.
Yeah, it was a twist.
Man.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It's pretty fun.
We should download some arcade games and play them together.
Okay.
Nah.
No, yeah, don't worry about it.
Look,
yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll just go.
It's hard. I mean, the more recent ones obviously stick in my mind. The Arkham games. Spider-Man 2 is a great game.
Ultimate Destruction.
Oh, that's a great one. Hulk Ultimate Destruction. Or is it Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction? I don't know what it's called. Yeah. It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
It's the same guys who did Prototype. And it feels very Prototype.
Mm.
And what's particularly great about that game, you feel exactly like the Hulk.
Uh-huh.
Like, when you run, you don't have to dodge around cars or anything. You just plow through them.
Uh-huh.
And you don't slow down. You just drop your shoulder and go right through it.
Yeah, right.
And you can just move at incredible speed. And you fight mechs.
Yep.
And you're leaping through the desert. And
you can get a car and tear it in half. And
yes.
Use your boxing gloves.
Oh, that game was the best. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, though, the Iron Man game was not good on the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I think nobody has really nailed the flying mechanics.
Never, that's
behind
true.
A flying character, which... Oh, man, there's this game, I know we're talking about best, but Superman Returns on the, I think it was on the Xbox 360, but I played it on PS2, but apparently they're equally terrible.
Uh-huh.
People hate the Superman 64 game,
right.
and that game is inexcusably terrible.
Right.
But Superman Returns is possibly as bad.
Right.
It's one of those ones where the flying's great, I give it that,
yep.
But there's a weird, it's hard to kind of... make him fly and then land naturally.
Yes,
it's a real
it
kind
is.
Of awkward jarring, and then you're stuck on the ground and it's weird, and you get your powers or whatever, but you're like, oh, you've earned your heat vision or
right.
whatever, right? And then you get your heat vision, then they're like, oh, these beings from another dimension, they're heat vision proof.
Right.
So you have to use your freeze breath or whatever.
Right.
And it's just not good or compelling in any way. And at the end of the game, you fight a hurricane. No. At the end of the game, you fight a tornado.
Huh. That sounds awful.
It's just the worst.
That's even worse than lifting up a big thing, which is the end of the actual film, Superman Returns.
You fight Metallo in it as well, or Metallo.
Metallo,
potato,
yeah.
Tomato. Mm. And there's a...
And beings from another dimension. That's slightly more interesting than the film.
I think it starts off where you fight Darkseid in space on a spaceship.
It sounds really interesting.
It does sound interesting, but...
It's not.
It's the worst. And there's a cutscene in it that I remember saw the trailer for, and it was all CGI cutscene, so I should have known... And you fight Metallo, and he's a giant building-sized robot.
Uh-huh.
And you fly through his kryptonite heart or whatever and tear it out. Or something like that happens.
Uh-huh.
And it looked incredible. I'm an idiot, because obviously it's an all CGI cutscene.
Right.
But yeah, that is not a good game.
Huh.
I've said this before, the Captain America game on Xbox 360 and PS3 is good.
Uh-huh.
It's not amazing, but it's solid. Really good fighting mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Returns on the Atari Lynx is amazing.
Right, okay,
mentioned that
I know.
Before.
I'm aware.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we could do a whole episode on this.
I think
though.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You got any others?
Well, Prototype, as you mentioned. That's a superhero-esque game.
Yeah.
And Infamous. Have you...
Yeah, I played it. Yeah. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as everybody else did,
I think.
There you go. Yeah. I preferred Prototype.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not based on the comic book, Mason. You've made a grave error in judgment.
But they made some very average tie-in comics, I'm sure. So... Still counts.
There's also some really good Game Boy Advance Spider-Man games
uh-huh.
that are side-scrollers. The official Spider-Man movie game on the Game Boy Advance is really good. I never had a Game Boy Advance, but you look like you're stifling a yawn.
No! No, tell me more about your Game Boy Advance games.
I didn't have one. I used to download the emulator once. But yeah, they were really, really cool.
Huh.
The one based on the movie's good, and there's some other ones that
yep.
are really good. So yeah. Also, this isn't a video a comic, but I love the Dark Forces Jedi Knight games.
Yeah, completely irrelevant.
You got me.
I did.
But this section doesn't have a theme song, so I can go anywhere.
No rules apply.
So yeah, thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Mm.
Andre A, and a few people, others have asked me to share my Goat Han Solo ultimatum.
Oh, sure.
Because I promised that I would share it a few weeks back, and then I never did.
Mm.
What the bizarre thing about this is, I never thought I would have a platform other than you for my Goat Han Solo ultimatum.
Yes, because your avatar on Twitter is a Goat Han Solo.
That's right, which is a joke only you get.
Right.
Until now.
Whoa!
So, basically...
Revelations.
This is the ultimatum. Please hit me back on Twitter for an answer on this.
I would like people's opinion as well.
Yeah, so hit me and Mason.
And why? Don't just tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Yeah. Basically, the ultimatum is... These are your two scenarios. You choose between these two things.
Would you rather
be Harrison Ford as he is now, stuck in the Star Wars universe? Bearing in mind, Harrison Ford hates Star Wars, and he hates talking about Star Wars, so he's stuck in this universe. People would occasionally mistake him for Han Solo, and he doesn't understand anything because he's an angry old man. They're like, let's go get the grizzled orcs connected to the Flagamagoos or whatever. That's all he hears.
Right.
And he just wants to drink himself to death in a bar. But people keep bothering him and asking him, you know, about stories about Han Solo.
But at the same time, he is in an amazing universe where anything can happen.
Yes.
And maybe he, you know...
He embraces it.
Embraces it, yeah.
Or maybe,
Yeah.
Or maybe he's killed in a bar fight.
Well, one of those, yeah. But it's your call because you are...
Your Han Solo. I mean, you're Harrison Ford, so you can take that wherever you want. Bearing in mind, this isn't your personality.
It's
Harrison Ford's personality. Yep. So you are essentially Harrison Ford.
Mm.
That's option number one. Option number two... You are Han Solo, right? You are Han Solo in our universe.
Yep.
You have the ship.
You have the blaster.
You have the blaster. You don't have Chewie, let's say.
Yep.
But you are a goat.
Yes.
So you are goat Han Solo stuck in our universe.
Right.
So you've got the personality.
You can fly all about the universe.
Yep. The swagger.
You got the swagger.
You got it all.
You got the charm for the ladies. But you're a goat. You got a little goat vest on. You can operate your blaster with your little goat hands.
Yeah, but I think we made it so you can use the blaster. It's not explained how, but this, you just can.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What do you choose?
Yeah, it's a really good question, right?
Yeah. Do you think the goat is a standy-uppy goat?
He's a standy-uppy goat.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
fair enough. Mm. So, yeah, please hit us back on Twitter.
This is the most important question we've ever asked on this show. So if you could.
He just put us both into it at Wikipedia Brown for Mason.
Correct.
At Mr. Sunday Movies for me. Please let us know. And next week we'll tell you our
answers. We'll tally it up and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Actually, we don't want to sway this, do we?
No, we don't. I wouldn't say either way.
Yeah. But next week,
but
mate,
we know.
We'll chime in. I think this is one of my best ultimatums simply because for me it's really difficult to choose. So, yeah. You're fucked either way, mate.
That's right.
Oh, it's awesome either way.
It's glorious either way.
Yeah. Just quickly, Mason, before we leave this place.
Yes.
As you showed me on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it on Twitter.
We've both seen things on Twitter. We've seen some things on Twitter, mate.
You know it.
It's a wild west out there.
It sure is. Stephanie Hayden.
Yes.
Who just had a baby with Justin.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful young baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
Who was luckily born about a week or so before Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Relief.
I know, right? Allowing Justin to go see Winter Soldier on his birthday. How terrific. So he has the gift of a newborn baby and the gift of a movie with a metal arm fighting a guy with a shield.
In a sweet knife fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that all worked out for the best.
Happy birthday.
Do you think in life things work out for the best?
Yeah, all the time.
For everybody?
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
All right, Mason, that's the show for the week.
You seem sad about that.
I just think
you just want the show to go on forever.
Well, you know what? I really enjoyed doing this show.
It's good, isn't it?
It's one of the highlights of my week, probably.
Yes.
Is it yours?
Yes.
You can say no.
It is, but it's quite early.
Yeah, it is.
Right now.
Yeah, it is. It's real early. Sorry, because I have a Bucks party today, as you're aware.
That's right.
God.
There's going to be some shenanigans.
I know.
Are you going to go go-karting?
No, I hope
who
not.
Who goes to a 1 p.m. Bucks party? This is going to go all night.
It's one of these all-day
paintball
things. Paintball? No, I don't know. It's just mostly at a pub. But it's one of these things, he's having two. He's having one now for people who can't go to Queensland, and in 2 weeks we're all going to Queensland.
Right.
And last time I went to Queensland, or the times I went, I nearly die every time. It's not good for you.
Because of snakes.
Because of snakes, yeah. It's very unpleasant, so I'm not looking forward to that.
Uh-huh.
So I've already recorded my Sunday video for tomorrow, knowing how bad I'm going to be.
Great.
So yeah, be prepared for your drunkenness, Mason.
I'm ready.
Manage your time around it.
Good idea.
All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs this, if you want to email in for whatever, at weeklyplanetpod at Facebook, Gmail, Twitter.
Mm.
Mine is Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter. Yours is Wikipedia Brown.
Indeed.
On Twitter.
Correct.
Have a great week, everybody.
See you, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.